Stanisław Lem. Uranium Earpieces. Once there lived a certain engineer cosmogonist who lit stars to dispel the dark. He arrived at the nebula of Andromeda when it was still filled with black clouds. He immediately cranked up a great vortex, and as soon as it began to move, the cosmogonist reached for his beams. He had three of these: red, violet, and invisible. With the first, he ignited a stellar sphere, and instantly it became a red giant, but the nebula grew no lighter. He pricked the star with a second beam until it whitened. Then he said to his apprentice, "Keep an eye on it," and himself went off to kindle others. The apprentice waited 1,000 years and 1,000, but the engineer did not return. The apprentice grew weary of this waiting. He turned up the star, and from white it changed to blue. That pleased him, and he thought he could do everything now. He tried to turn it up some more, but it burned. He searched in the box the cosmogonist had left behind, but there was nothing there. Less than nothing, it seemed. He looked and could not even see the bottom. The invisible beam, he thought. He wanted to jolt the star with it, but the question was, how? He took the box and hurled it, beam and all, into the fire. All the clouds of Andromeda flared up then, as if 100,000 suns were lit at once, and in the whole nebula it grew bright as day. Great was the joy of the apprentice, but it did not last long, for the star burst. The cosmogonist flew up then, seeing the damage, and since he did not like to waste anything, he seized the beams and made planets of them. The first he fashioned out of gas, the second out of carbon. But for the third planet, only the heavier metals were left. So what resulted was a sphere of actinite Sirius. The cosmogonist packed it tight, sent it flying and said, "In 100 million years I'll return. We'll see what becomes of it." And he hurried off to find the apprentice, who had fled in fear of him. And on that third planet, Actinuria, there arose the great kingdom of the Palatinids. Each of them was so heavy he could walk only on Actinuria, for on the other planets the ground gave way beneath him, and when he shouted, the mountains fell. But at home they all stepped softly and dared not raise their voices because their ruler, Archithorius, knew no bounds when it came to cruelty. He lived in the palace, carved out of the mountain of platinum, in which there were 600 mighty holes, and in each hole lay one of his hands, he was so large. He could not leave the palace, but he had spies everywhere, so suspicious was he, and he tormented his subjects also with his greed. The Palatinids had need of neither lamps nor fires at night, for all the mountains of their planet were radioactive, so that during the new moon you could thread a needle. In the day, when the sun was too much for comfort, they slept in the depths of their mountains. Only at night time did they assemble in the metal valleys. But cruel Archithorius ordered lumps of uranium to be thrown into the kettles used to melt palladium with platinum and issued a proclamation throughout the land. Each Palatinid was to come to the royal palace, where his measurements would be taken for a new suit of armor. And pauldrons and breastplates were made, gauntlets and greaves, a visor and helmet, with everything glowing. For that garb was of uranium alloy. And brightest of all shone the earpieces. After this, the Palatinids could no longer come together and hold council. For if the gathering grew too numerous, it exploded. Thus they had to lead their lives apart, passing one another at a distance, fearful of a chain reaction. Archithorius, meanwhile, delighted in their sorrow and burdened them with ever newer levies. His mints, in the heart of the mountains, hammered out ducats of lead, for lead was scarce on Actinuria and had the highest value.